Welcome to the Sadler Lectures podcast. Responding to popular demand, I'm converting my philosophy videos into sound files you can listen to anywhere you can take an MP3. If you like what you hear and want to support my work, go to patreon.com/sadler. I hope you enjoy this lecture. One of the interesting features of Epicurus's moral philosophy and moral psychology as well is that when he uses the term pleasure, he doesn't mean just one thing. He actually distinguishes, and the whole Epicurean tradition will distinguish, between two different kinds or two different types of pleasure, fundamentally different from each other on this basis. Some of them are what they call moving or kinetic pleasures, and some of them are what are called static pleasures. And you notice that I put static pleasures in between moving pleasures and pains. Now, why did I do that? Well, this is where Epicurus is going to differ from other hedonists from the ancient world. So, you know, the other hedonists had held, and I think this is a very natural view that many people have, that you've got pain on the one side, and you've got pleasure, and then, you know, what's in between? Neither pleasure nor pain, a kind of neutral state. Epicurus will actually argue that the neutral state is not a neutral state, that it's in fact the best, the most pleasurable state. It's exactly what you want to try to get to. Or if we want to be more exact, you want that state with a little bit of this stuff, you know, just not enough to actually get you stuck in pains. And this is something that is really central to Epicurus's position. You can't understand his position adequately or do moral reasoning based on that position without taking this distinction into account and the implications of it. There's a few things that he says that I want to highlight from the principal doctrines and the letter to Menaecius. So one of the things that he says in the principal doctrines, he says, if the objects which are productive of pleasures to prolificate persons are people who are just, you know, pursuing pleasure all the time, that lack self-control when it comes to pleasure, that make dumb, imprudent decisions. They're the kinds of people who do what we call impulse buying. You know, they're the ones that all these kiosks are set up for at gas stations and rest stops and supermarkets, you know, because they can count on them to buy. Buying is a matter of acquiring things that we think are going to give us pleasure or are going to ward off pain. So he says, if the objects which are productive of pleasures to prolificate persons, which are primarily kinetic pleasures, really freed them from fears of the mind, the fears, I mean, inspired by celestial and atmospheric phenomena, the fear of death, the fear of pain. Further, if they taught them to limit their desires, we'd never have any fault with that. Then they would be filled to pleasures to overflowing on all sides and would be exempt from all pain, whether body or mind, that is, from all evil. For Epicurus, pain is what is bad, right? So you want to have a life that's free from pain. Does that mean that instead you ought to like go to the other extreme and try to pile up as much pleasure as possible? No, as we're going to see when we look at his theory of practical reasoning, oftentimes many of the pleasures that he's calling kinetic pleasures will themselves bring pain. Take drinking, for example, right? Drinking is fun. That's why people like to drink. All sorts of reasons that we could go into. But oftentimes with drinking comes being hungover, saying and doing dumb things. You go out to the bar, it costs good money. Or if you're drinking, you know, very expensive champagnes or wines or liquors, you're going to feel some pain when you look at your bank account the next day, right? So these pleasures that are generated by doing something or by consuming something, by taking something in, by some sort of change, they're caused by some sort of change. That's why they're called kinetic pleasures. They are not the sum total of pleasure, in part because, as he says, they can't actually take away the pains, the really big pains, that tend to make our lives less than happy lives, less full lives. So the things that he's talking about are fear of death. A lot of people try to deal with their fear of death by a hedonistic lifestyle, not an Epicurean hedonistic lifestyle, but some other kind of hedonistic lifestyle, and that only works for so long. Or they try to deal with the loss of a relationship, the loss of a job by going out and having a good time. It doesn't really take away the concerns that one has. It could be worries about money, it could be worries about relationships, it could be worries about all sorts of things. This, the condition of static pleasure, of being free of pain, being free of worry, a state of rest, or being satisfied, being untroubled, being unpained, literally, by pains, fears, worries, that, Epicurus says, is actually much more pleasurable for us than the types of pleasures that we get through doing something, consuming something. He goes on and he says in the letter to Menoesius that, or we have need of pleasures of this sense when we are pained, when we grieve, is how the translation goes. Literally, when we feel pain of some sort, and that pain could be fears or troubles, it could be an actual physical pain, because pleasure is not present. When we do not grieve, when we've removed that, when we're in this state of static pleasure, we don't really need this kind of pleasure over here, because we're already feeling good. If we want to add some of this, that's the gravy. That's the meat, right? That's what we really want. That's just an addendum to it. So he says, on this account, we affirm that pleasure is the beginning and end of living happily. So a lot of times when we're feeling pains of some sort, we want to use pleasure in this sense as a kind of compensation to distract us, to take our minds off of things. Epicurus would say, no, you really need to address the reasons why, the causes why you are feeling these worries, these pains. You have to address that so you can get here. Because if your goal is simply to try to mask it or to overcome it for a short time, you swing from this extreme over here, but this is going to take you right back there again. Because many of those kinetic pleasures are themselves going to bring, later on, other pains. So that's a key idea as well. He goes on and he says, when we say that pleasure is the chief good, we're not talking of the pleasures of the debauched man, or those which lie in sensual enjoyment, as some think who are ignorant and don't entertain our opinions or interpret them perversely. To be an Epicurean does not mean stuffing your face full of stuff. It doesn't even mean stuffing your face full of the finest foods and wines while beautiful music is playing, because those are all moving or kinetic pleasures. To be an Epicurean means, first of all, trying to live a life that is as free from worry and from pain as possible. You limit these kinds of pleasures so that they don't bring about pain, so that you can actually enjoy this, and then you reincorporate some of those pleasures. So he says, we mean the freedom of the body from pain and the soul from confusion. It's not continued drinking and reveling or intercourse with boys and women or feasts of fish and other such things. Fish was a kind of a delicacy, as a costly table supplies, that make life pleasant. But, so this shows us what the static pleasures consist in, sober contemplation, which examines into the reasons for all choice and avoidance, and which puts to flight the vain opinions from which the greater part of the confusion, pain, arises, which troubles the soul. So for Epicurus, this is really what our focus ought to be upon. That's the kind of hedonism that he is putting out. Interestingly, this was something about which other people, as he says, you know, those who misinterpret our doctrines, a lot of people would say, look, those Epicureans, they're just about maximizing this kind of pleasure over here, and they would ignore the distinction. Or they would say, look, I don't understand how you can mean pleasure in two different ways. This is what the Epicurean doctrine was and still is for those who take it as a guide today.
Special thanks to all of my Patreon supporters for making this podcast possible. You can find me on Twitter at Philosopher70, on YouTube at the Gregory B. Sadler channel, and on Facebook on the Gregory B. Sadler page. Once again, to support my work, go to patreon.com/sadler. Above all, keep studying these great philosophical works.